Father, Lord, the entrance of your word brings life and brings light. Break now, Lord, the bread of life to us as you did by the sea. In the name of Jesus, blessed be your name. Blessed be his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Pardon me, let me switch this. Would this, if I flip this light on, would it affect anything, bro? Is that okay? Thank you. The title of my message, I had something else prepared, and he started moving on me differently. So I had to obey his spirit. Amen? The title of my message today, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Amen. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. That was the last name he gave to the Old Testament prophet, Ezekiel chapter 48, 35. This, irrespective, I consider it probably the most comforting and exciting name of God that God has given us. In the historic sense in which this name was given, God showed that he had not abandoned his people, Israel, despite 70 years of captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. He says, I am there. And he's there for you today. A lot of times we go through challenges in life and you ask, Lord, where are you? How many have been there? You say, Lord, where are you? We're going to read through the scriptures. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 23. And we keep reading on. And I'll shed light in what he was saying to us. Luke chapter 23, I start at verse 50. A quick synopsis. Jesus had just been snatched away from the earth. And a few people gathered. Imagine that Israel look for a Messiah. They were under the Roman Empire and were under a lot of stress. Amen? And they were crying and they were hoping this Jesus would deliver us. He was the most significant personality that came to earth. He was the most important person on the face of the earth. He was the one who fed 5,000 with nothing. Amen? Who spoke to the sick and the sick couldn't stay sick among him. Amen? And the dead couldn't stay dead around him. Amen? So it was the hope of everybody around him. And then suddenly, he snatched away. And now we see the apostles all in disarray. I'll read and then we'll just share a few things as fast as I can. And behold, verse 50, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel of and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man was well connected. The scripture says he was rich. One significant thing about him, he was not ashamed of the Christ. Amen? He was not, are you ashamed of the Christ at your place of work? Do people know who you are? Or like my friend said, are you a stealth Christian? I hope nobody in this church is a stealth Christian. Amen? Praise the Lord. This man went to Pilate and begged for his body. We find out this man, despite being rich, his wealth did not take him away from the Christ. Have we met a lot of people when they become rich, they have nothing, don't want anything to be with God? That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. That will not be the portion of your children in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. He says, on the day of preparation, verse 54, on the day of preparation, and the Sabbath drew nigh. So he begged for the body of Christ, and the women also that were with, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they turned, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments. I'm talking about this. They had a huge problem on their hands. And you probably have had a huge problem on your hand at one point in time or the other, in which you are hoping. You are hoping that the Lord would show up. The people that you depended upon. In other scriptures, the people that the Israelites depended upon, they said they have crucified the governors, Pilate, the priests, the high priests, the Pharisees, who the people looked upon. They all disappointed them. Sometimes people you look up to will disappoint you. Your hope has to be in Christ Jesus. I would fail you sometime. Amen? You will fail me sometimes. But Jesus never fails. Amen. He never fails. Hallelujah. Now, wrap this. This story is wrapped about around Jesus Christ and the people around him, all the challenge. That was uppermost in their heart because Christ, their hope, was taken from them. He had told them a few things before about what would happen to him. But see what happens. Verse 56. They had prepared spices. What do you do with spices as it regards the dead in the Jewish custom? He had told them, I will rise again. But they didn't believe it. They took spices to go and see him, third day and stuff, and then so the body doesn't start decaying. That's exactly right. But when they got there, he was not in the grave. Because the grave could not hold him down. Praise ye the Lord. But see what starts happening? When we have circumstances in our lives, we start to look at the natural way of doing things. How many of you know that? The first thing that occurs to us is to do what everybody else does. The folks, they went to prepare spices for the Messiah. What does Christ want us to do? The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's go. Now, upon the first day of the week, verse 20, chapter 24, verse 1. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing what? Spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They were trying to embalm Jesus. That was what everybody else did with that kind of a problem that was on their hand. Can you imagine that they didn't even, probably didn't even sleep. Because he said, very early in the morning, you've had situations in life that you just can't sleep. How many have been there? You are so troubled, you just can't sleep. But Jesus had spoken the word originally. He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will rise again. I want us to look at chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, about 57 through 66. Is it interesting that, I'll jump back and forth. Let's look at this. Look at verse 63. The unbelievers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all of them. He said, verse 6, we remember that this deceiver, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, he said, I will rise again. The unbelievers sometimes, they get it. They remembered, but the disciples didn't remember. Maybe blocked from their understanding. But here is a situation they faced. And we see all the women, Mary Magdalene, all they went to the tomb. It says, Mary cried. Have you sometimes on your bed, you are crying bitterly concerning a situation, hoping that somehow by the time you wake up, it's not real. It's a dream. How many have been there? I have been there. You are hoping that, no, it's not happening. It's not happening to me. The Lord tells me to tell some of us this morning, there will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. O child of God, cry no more. There will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. O child of God, cry no more. There will be joy in the morning. O child of God, cry no more. There will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. Is his family here? Oh, child of God, could somebody get up for me, please? Cry no more. There will be joy in the morning, O child of God, cry no more. There will be joy in the morning, O child of God, cry no more. There will be joy in the morning. The Lord says, I should sing this song to you. There, sit down, will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. O child of God, cry no more. There will be joy in the morning. O child of God, cry no more. There will be joy in the morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We see in John chapter 20, verse 11, Mary Magdalene and the host of other women, they were perplexed. They were crying bitterly for the situation in which they found themselves. Their savior, their healer, their provider, all that meant the world to them was suddenly snatched away. Jesus knows about your situation. Small or great, he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there. When the miracle came and their understanding was enlightened, it was like, wow! He said it in his word. See, the Lord loves us so much. The challenges of life we go through is to do one thing among others, is to lean on him, to trust him, that no matter what, he knows your situation. He knows my situation better than I know it. Amen. And he has made a way of escape. Listen, the game of life has been rigged. Has been rigged to your favor. The end from the beginning is being rigged to the believer's favor. Can somebody say amen? No matter what, it's been rigged to our favor. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's Mr. Eternity. Yesterday, today, tomorrow is the same with him. He does not dwell in time. He's up here. And everything, is captured, but we don't know. Brothers and sisters, don't disappoint him in your tribulation. Don't let him down. When the ladies were shown, their eyes were open, Christ appeared to them. Two angels, the two angels appeared. He said, why seek the living among the dead? Did he tell you this? The Lord said, Mary, Mary. She was excited. He's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive. Your miracle is not dead. He's alive. To the intent that Christ may be glorified. Sometimes we believe a miracle somebody else has. We find it hard to believe for ourselves. Has somebody been there? When the lady said, let me read that scripture, so it won't be like, verse 11. He said, and their word seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They didn't believe. You will believe. You will believe for your miracle. He that showed it and did it for these women, Mary Magdalene and all of them, then eventually he's going to reveal himself to you. You see what God does for us? He's playing a game with us. Whoever has played this game, seek and hide. I play this. These kids, sometimes I see them, I begin to do this. I start smiling at me. God is playing a game of peekaboo with us. He holds us in the palm of his hands. Our matters are not hid from him. They are not hid from him. I will try my best to summarize. Now check this out. The men on the road to Emmaus. Chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs, that's about 7-8 miles. And it came to pass that while they were communed together, reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou a stranger in this town? What are you talking about? They were talking to his excellency himself, and they knew not. You mean, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through? You don't know what has happened in this town? You don't know about my situation, my kids, my healing that I'm looking up to you for? Don't you know? Don't you get it? I said to them, what things? Remember, everything they believed for was taken away from them. Sometimes God hides himself in your situation and is right there. Though quiet, it looks like he has abandoned you. He has not abandoned you. Amen. There's something I wanted to mention about that. I'll go back. About that man, Joseph of Arimathea. Please. This guy went, begged for the body, and he took it down. That's verse 53. Chapter 23, verse 53. He
took the body of Christ. He took it down. In life and in death, this guy was acquainted with the Christ. You know what? He fulfilled the scripture. As I was searching through, Isaiah 53 verse 9. Folks, your life is not a coincidence. This fulfillment of this guy's destiny in verse 53 was also in Isaiah chapter 53. Coincidence? I call it, no, sir. God incidence. Your life and my life is not a game of dice. Can somebody say amen? You are timed in destiny. You are called for such a time as this. Fulfill your calling. Fulfill your destiny in Christ Jesus. You are not listening to this message by happenstance today. Work for him. Shine for him. You are the only one who will touch that people within your sphere of influence. You are the only one God has placed at such a time as this. God placed Arimathea, Joseph as Arimathea, at such a time as when he was. And he signified it in the scriptures. Verse 53, Isaiah 53, verse 9. Your destiny will not be aborted in the name of Jesus. I say your destiny will not be aborted in the name of Jesus. You will fulfill your destiny in the name of Jesus. It will not be truncated in the name of Jesus. That of your children will not be truncated in the name of Jesus. The Lord will smile over you with singing. Amen. We go on. And as they went on, he kept telling the story. Listen to this. Verse 25. You can read this whole thing by yourself, and maybe you see what I'm saying here. Look at verse 21. He said, we trusted, this is the so much hope they placed in the Messiah. Verse 20. They told of how the chief priests, the religious leaders of that day, people of might and power they looked up to. Verse 21. He said, but we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. They trusted he was going to be the one to redeem. And then Jesus, verse 25, he opened the books whereby he was written of himself. There's a book that's written of you. There's a book that's written of you. Fulfill the assignment the Christ has given you. Praise the Lord. Verse 27. 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of hearts, to believe all that the prophet have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And begin at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There's a writing in the heavenlies that God, that has your name on it. A book that has your name on it. When we cross over, it looks like it's taken away. And we just give you, say, now go fulfill your destiny. Verse. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. He made as though he would have gone further. A lot of times, our situation gets delayed. It looks like he just passed me by. And he did it for that person and that person. But your day is coming, said the Lord. But listen what the disciples did. He said, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's towards evening, and days far spent. No matter the circumstance in which we find ourselves, have a reason to come, call him in to dine with you. Have a reason to invite him into your situation, despite your situation, like the men of old did. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be beaten for this Christ. And when it looks like it's delayed, Jesus turned around and he went in. When he went in, he broke the bread and their eyes were opened. Wow! This is all it's about. Jesus, I thank you. You look back and say, wow, this is what he was trying to bring out in the situation. Your tribulation will be turned into jubilation. Your mystery, your misery will be turned into a ministry. Your tests will be turned into a testimony in the name of Jesus. But don't forget to invite him despite. Don't let, my friend says, don't let the devil have the opportunity to see your head bowed low. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. Let the King of glory come in. Let him come in. Invite him in, Lord. You already know about it. Come down with me. Hallelujah. Come down with me. He said he will lay a tale before you in the presence of your enemies. Do not pray that your enemies will die. Even those who are working against you, physically war, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, wickedness in high places. Don't pray for them to die. That was not the intent of Christ. He said he will lay a table before you in the presence of your enemies. They will be alive and they will see it. So when you go to a congregation and say, yo, let the train run over your enemy. What are you talking about? That's not what Jesus said we should do. Can somebody say amen? Pray for your enemies and bless them that despitefully use you. Hallelujah. Is somebody with me? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And when you invite him in, he reveals himself. The veil is opened. And you say, your excellency, wow. Then my heart pricked within me that you were in my situation. He knew about the situation. And because the books will be opened. Say, yeah, she didn't deny me because she was in this situation. He didn't deny me because there was no money in the bank. She didn't deny me because she was sick. Hallelujah. There remained therefore a crown of righteousness. A crown, there's a crown that the Lord is preserving for somebody. For you and for me. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on. Hold on a little while longer. The day will break forth. Hallelujah. There's so much I want to say that he said to me, but I got to stop here. In conclusion, I just want to highlight a few things that when we are going through challenges, don't do that which comes natural. Amen? Don't do what comes natural to human beings. You are sick, don't think the first thing to go and do is take ibuprofen. No, sir. Go to the healer. Amen? Somebody said stuff about you, go into the books and find out what the book said you do to the person. Amen? Love them. Though love them that hate you. Amen? That's command. Praise the Lord. Don't be consumed in your problem to the intent you have sleepless nights. You wake up and all you're thinking is about that problem. Remember, your life is not a game of dice. It's been rigged to your favor. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus has your blueprint. Praise him anyhow, despite your circumstance, from the depth of your being. Hallelujah. Despite what your situation, praise him anyhow. There was a lady, one of my nieces, back in London. She was married. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And my goodness, no babies. Under African conditions, what thing is going to happen? They look at this man. We're going to check you out, mama. We're going to check you out. You know what? When the Holy Ghost came into our situation, this lady was jumping on the pews. She didn't know when she took one of these and did this. And she was jumping all over the church. 9 months later, according to time of life, she gave birth. Amen. Jesus showed up. Had he showed up before? He was always there. But he was waiting. He was waiting to that day in which she opened the door and danced and danced and danced. She said, they said she knocked down all the chairs. Do it tarry, wait for it. You see, the children of Israel were just, the water was just around the block. The city of palms was just around the corner when they were mourning and griming and murmuring. But that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. You will lift up his name despite your situation. Maybe you are going to school and you are trying. It doesn't look like. Invite him to the situation. Hallelujah. You know what happened to these folks when they invited him? When their eyes were opened? That very night, they walked 8 miles. He had invited Jesus to come and abide with them that evening. They said it was getting dark. But when the Lord showed up, they walked another 8 miles back to the city. We have seen the Christ. He's not dead. Your situation is not dead. The Christ has arisen on your situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As I close, I want to encourage us with this song. I want it to be my tribute to him, us, in his assembly, because he has told you to be a witness for him. Every time I come to this pulpit, it's a reminder to you and to me. And you know the song? And empty-handed. There's a command that he has given you and I as Christians. It's the greatest assignment to be a witness to somebody else. Go and lift somebody else and show them the light. Go and lift somebody else and show them the light. To this end, you were created. If you don't show them the light, who else will? He has put you in a position to be an Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea, in life and in death. Will you deny him? Will you deny him? Must I go and empty-handed?
Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to meet him. Must I empty-handed?
One more time.
Must I go?
Don't meet him without somebody.
Empty-handed. Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with to meet him. Must I empty-handed
go? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word of encouragement to us. We thank you because our times are in thy hand. In the book that is written of us, I pray everyone at the sound of my voice fulfill their destiny in the name of Jesus. Let no destiny be cut short or aborted in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, Lord, for Christ that died and rose again to bring us life and immortality. Help us this week as we go. Be with us. Let us touch somebody for the Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said,